Welcome to Super Talk, the podcast that scratches your superhero itch. Just two suburban dads nerding out over superhero stuff on the small screen and the big. Buckle up, people. Enjoy the ride.
Welcome to Super Talk, the weekly podcast dedicated to news and reviews of comic book media on the big and small screen. This is episode number 10. I'm your host, Brian Professor Pettis, and with me, as always, is my illustrious co-host, Titanium, Tony Estrella. Titanium!
Episode 10. We hit a milestone. We hit a couple of milestones, right, Professor?
Exciting week, yeah.
Episode 10. Here we go. Let's keep it going. You know, a good friend of mine said, to build something, you build something brick by brick. And that's what we're doing here. We're going to build something fun. We're having a blast. I hope the people that listen to the show are having a blast. But we're going to build it brick by brick. And hopefully we build something pretty fucking cool.
If you would have told us 10 weeks ago, we'd still be going strong. We'd still be having fun. We'd still be talking about things we love and having fun doing it. We'd all be tickled pink. So hopefully this is number 10 of many more to come. So, yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, been great. A lot of fun. Hey, Professor, take us to school.
I will. But first, as we do every week, we've got to start the show off by thanking our sponsors. First off, Studio GG Studios, Home of the Man Band, Corn on the Cob. You know, their support has just never ending. They're always helping us out, and what they've done for us is just fantastic. Please go visit their YouTube page. We always put a link to their page in our show notes. Just please go visit them and support them. Yeah. They're great.
Studio GG Studios. And now available, this is a big breaking news. Now available, you heard it first here on Super Talk Podcast, animal names. Are you an ox? Are you a buffalo? Or are you an alligator? Go check it out. It's good stuff. You're really going to enjoy it.
So on the YouTube page.
On their YouTube page, a new music video called Animal Names by Studio GG Studio, the man band, Corn on the Cob.
And our other sponsor, Preston's Pharmacy, returning sponsor. Thank you again so much for what you're doing. I heard a great anecdotal story from one of our friends this week that he needed a rapid test so that go see his mom up in New England, hasn't been able to spend any time with her since his dad's passed away. And Preston was able to come through, turn around a test really quickly, allowing him to get up there and visit with his mom, who's in a nursing home. So
that's the kind of shit you love to hear. As we've said, Tony,
the real superhero is coming through again, right? Yeah. This is what those guys are doing. So
thank
please
you so much. Frank and Lisa O'Day at Preston's Farm. Thank you so much. That's a heartwarming story.
Yeah, it's awesome. And again, this show is brought to you by you, the listeners. We have a Patreon page, patreon.com/supertalk.
Yeah.
If you want to support the show directly and some exciting, we got a new patron this week.
Awesome.
I want to thank Jared Lowy from Westlake Village, California, for joining the patrons. So,
thank you, Jared. That's awesome. Thank you so much.
Thank you note and stickers will be on the way in the mail. So we will not forget about you. So thank you for supporting the show directly. And so anybody wants to support the show, $1 per episode, really easy to do, patreon.com/supertalk.
And those patrons are going to get special things throughout the year as well.
Yeah, we're thinking about doing some crazy things for our patrons, doing a live stream of our podcast and making it available to our patrons only. So that would be really cool, and we're looking forward to doing that. We'll get there at some point in time.
Very cool.
And then we got another big announcement to make. So we put the challenge out to our YouTube subscribers and watchers and said, hey, we want to get to 100 subscribers, and as soon as we do, we're going to do a giveaway. We're going to give away a t-shirt or some swag.
Yeah, we gave a shout out to all the geeks and freaks and nerds, and they responded in droves. I thought it was great. I love, you know, I'm just a suburban dad here, but I identify as a nerd. So I love the fact that there are many nerds out there and that love this superhero stuff that we love and we're obsessed with. And we got a lot of subscribers. I can't believe it. That's so great. Thank you so much.
Big news is we got to 100 subscribers this week, and then we went past 100 and got to 200 this week. So we just really killed it this week. And so thank you, all of you on YouTube, for subscribing. And as promised, we are doing a giveaway this week. We did a random drawing of our subscribers. One tip I will give to all our subscribers out there: if you make your subscription private, we can't see it.
Yeah.
So if you want to be part of these giveaways, please make your subscription to our podcast public so we can see who you are. But for those of you who we are able to see, we did a drawing, and the winner is Denny's Akigaz. Denny's or Deniz. I don't know how to pronounce that, but yeah. Please reach out to us directly. Email us at supertalkpodcast@outlook.com, or you can hit us up with a DM at supertalkpod on Twitter.
Yeah.
Give us your contact info and we'll get this this
and
swag
what shirt
out
you
to
wear
you.
What size shirt yeah. you wear, that's important too. Give us your size and mailing address, and we're gonna hit the swag wagon and pull some stuff down for you and send it to you. So yeah. Thank you so much for subscribing
again. YouTube, you really came through this week and we really appreciate that, so thank you very much. All right, well, let's get into it, Tony. Let's start the news and review section, and as we have been recently, let's get into the big topic of the week, and that's WandaVision episode 9.
Yep.
Series finale.
Series finale. That's what the show was called.
Right.
What was your thoughts? What'd you think? I'll tell you what I think.
Well, I think my expectations were lowered dramatically throughout the week.
You do that? Because
When we found out that the runtime, we found that out kind of earlier in the week that the runtime was about 50 minutes, and all the episodes we've had thus far, the last few have been getting increasingly longer, and there's so many plot points they had to clear up and so many questions that have been unanswered. We're like, well, this last episode's going to have to be an hour and a half. It's going to be huge. And when we found out it was 50 minutes, I'm like, there is absolutely no way they tie off on everything.
We heard there was a big battle scene. We knew that the White Vision was going to be there, so we knew that Paul Bettany's I wanted to, you know, act with this guy for my entire life and blah, 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 blah. That just ended up being himself.
And that was spoiled on Thursday on Good Morning America. He came on Good Morning America and admitted that his statement about working with an actor that he's always wanted to work with, that he's admired his entire
was
life,
himself.
Was himself. Mm. And he thought it was a really cool joke. And he said, people are going to be really angry at me when they find out it's me. But we kind of... that bubble was burst earlier in the week. Again, the episode being only 50 minutes, we're like, well, there's going to be a lot of things that are left unanswered. And so my expectations were lowered immensely. I agree with your earlier statement that you made to me was it was a really, really, really good episode, and they really did a great job on this series. But I can't help but be disappointed in so many of the things they left unanswered.
Yes, the expectations. I mean, we haven't had any superhero Marvel content for over a year. So the expectations were through the roof already. And then the bandwagon of theories and the rush of innuendos and, you know, guessing what was going to happen and who was the big bad and all of this, there was no way they could live up to that hype. It was too much.
But it just shows you how much of a vacuum existed for this content.
Absolutely.
Right? That we have not had anything like this, as you've said, for over a year. And there was this huge, immense vacuum. Give us something. And not only did they give us something, they gave us something great. And everybody was consumed with it. Everybody was there's all these theories and rumors out there on the internet, and it was like, wow. And in some ways, again, I can't help but not be that disappointed, because this series delivered exactly what I was hoping it was going to deliver.
Same.
And that is a great show with great characters, great content. Now, all the things that didn't end up being true were disappointing.
Sure.
But in the end, I was so happy we had it.
Absolutely. I mean, I was, it's a great episode, and I loved it, and I was disappointed at the same time, if that makes sense. So it was great and disappointing all at the same time.
Some of the earlier episodes were a little bit more entertaining, simply because they were building up to something that was going to happen.
Yeah.
And now that the crescendo came and left, it was like, well, it could have been a lot better or different, and frankly, a lot of the cast was hearing all these internet rumors, and even the director was hearing all these internet rumors that were going out there about the show, and they're like, wow, that would have been a great idea. We should have thought of that. And it just goes to show that, you know, the fandom of these shows and this content in the Marvel Universe is so expansive right now. Yeah. And
Kevin, give us a call. We'll give you some of our ideas and some of our thoughts. But
we'll preempt this. You know, we'll help.
But the
you.
Show did the show did exactly what it was supposed to do. Okay, people, it built the Wanda Maximoff arc, the character arc, and it gave you her background. It built that character arc to a point where they can move forward with her as one of their primary characters in Phase 4. So it did what it was supposed to do. Let's not forget that. And number two, I did not like Wonder Woman. And one of the reasons why I thought Wonder Woman fell short, it was good, but it fell short for me because it tried to be bigger than what it should have been. It tried to be this epic Endgame, Infinity War. It tried to be much bigger and worldly than it should have been. They should have kept that story tighter. And that's what WandaVision did. And I think the fans wanted an Endgame type story, and they wanted something much bigger than what they got. And I think that was a little disappointing for people. But folks, it did what it was supposed to do. It built WandaVision as a character moving forward.
So here, I think the episodic nature of the show and the fact that it was released 1 week at a time led to...
Episodic. That's a huge word. I love it.
Led to the results that we got was that in between each show, there was an entire week. And now it gave the entire internet time to make up and come up with all these theories and rumors and leaks and everything else, and which was fantastic to be part of. But at the same time, if this show had dropped all 9 episodes on the first day, like Netflix would release an entire series right away,
right,
and we binged it in a couple of days, we wouldn't have had all of that build up and all that hype around each episode. And so in some ways, it's brilliant what Marvel did. I would have rather been able to binge it.
Yeah.
And you were talking about how your son Michael was going to wait till all the episodes are released so he could watch them all in a row. He's not going to be consumed with what's going to happen next because he can just watch the next episode. Whereas that's what we were doing every week. Like, what? I mean, we've centered a large part of our show around what's going to happen next week.
Yeah, he's been watching and listening to podcasts when he can, and he watches YouTube when he can. He's been watching our shows and kind of getting bits and pieces of what happens. So he knows what happens, but he's going to binge the whole thing all at once because that's how these kids kind of watch Netflix these days, right? So that's how they consume that. And there's a lot of shows coming out that are going to be able to do that, especially Netflix has a bunch of superhero shows. We're going to get into that in a little later, but great.
Well, our topic of the week this week, which we'll get into a little bit later, is all of the news and rumors and leaks that came out about the show. And we're going to go through each one of them, what ended up being true, what ended up being debunked, what questions remain unanswered or were never answered. We'll kind of go through that as our topic of the week this week. But as far as the show's concerned, in the finale in episode number 9, let's give some highlights. So, you know, what are the things about the show that really kind of hit you?
So it opens up where it ended in episode 8 with Agnes holding her children in the street and, you know, Wanda kind of throws a car at her, basically knocks her into the car, into the house, and she goes and looks under the car, and it's really cool.
Great Easter egg for Wizard of Oz.
The witch's shoes are there, and she's not.
You know, my powers work out here, and she says, I'm hoping so. Yeah. And we find out that one of Agatha's biggest powers, or one of the abilities she has, is to absorb or steal magic from what she calls people who are unworthy of it. But we saw that in episode 8.
So that was her motive, right? That was her motive throughout this whole series, was that she had the afterglow of all these spells being cast, drew her to that, and then once she realized what was going on...
And who she was,
she wanted to...
Steal that power. So we saw that in episode 8 when she was confronted by her coven. They were using their magic to hurt her, potentially, right, but she ended up turning that on them and stealing that power from them and siphoned it away. And we saw that, you know, they ended up becoming gray and ultimately died because they siphoned all their power.
She's been dabbling in the dark arts.
Right. So one of her abilities is to steal magic. So she was hoping that Wanda's powers worked. And we saw Wanda throw a couple of red beams at her, red balls at her, and she just absorbed them. And Wanda's arm started turning gray, and she's like, what's going on? And that's when she figured out, well, if I can't hit her directly, I'm gonna hit her indirectly with a car.
Yeah,
which was great.
Yeah, it's a sign of a witch when their hands turn black when they're casting spells. So that kind of was a big indication. The first time that's actually happened to Wanda, right?
Right.
So big indication that she was becoming the Scarlet Witch. So,
well, that was also Agatha siphoning the power from her. Right. Her armor's turning gray because her power is being stolen. But, you know, great battle between the two of them. We got some really good kind of callbacks to some of the things that Wanda's done in the past, like putting a mind hex on Agatha and sending her back into the past and having, giving her a nightmare.
Well, the White Vision comes down first and approaches Wanda, and Wanda's a little confused. And she approaches and he says, "Wanda," and he gently touches her face and then grabs her face with two hands and tries to squeeze her brain out. And then the other Vision comes in and tackles him and kind of does like an incredible the Hulk and the Hulkbuster scene, you know, when he's like dragging the Hulk's face against the cement. And then he throws him into an RV and it explodes. And then, you know, they kind of have this little banter back and forth, Wanda and her created Vision that we know now about the White Vision. So that was kind of a cool scene. And then an epic battle between the Visions.
We basically had two massive battles throughout the entire episode. Yeah. We had Wanda and Agatha fighting each other magically. And then we had Spectral Vision, the White Vision, and Vision from the Hex.
Spectral Vision, what's that?
So that's the White Vision. That's another name for the White Vision. Spectral Vision. Yeah.
Kids, write that down in your notebooks. Right. I didn't know that.
So, the two of them were battling, and we saw them, you know, flying up and fighting each other. And we saw that the White Vision had a beam that he could shoot out of the stone that's in his head.
Yeah, cool.
And our Vision, or the Hex Vision, still had his beams from his Mind Stone. They were fighting, which was fantastic. And then ultimately, Wanda and Agatha end up having this, as I mentioned, she goes back in time and the witches start trying to...
She puts a mind voodoo on her, the little mind thing. And
but the witches turn on Wanda. They're like, you're the Scarlet Witch. You're the Scarlet Witch.
Yeah, you're, yeah.
Right. And, you know, Agatha says, hey, give me your power. I'll take this. I'll fix your spell. I'll fix everything that's wrong with the Hex. And I'll let your family live out your life the way you designed them to live it out. Just let me take your power.
Yeah, she called it a flawed spell.
Right. I'll fix the flaws in your spell.
Yeah.
Right. And then they end up coming out of that dream sequence, and then they start fighting in the air. And then we see Vision and White Vision battling, and then they end up in a
library.
Mm-hmm. And what a great scene that was, where you could just see the two kind of android/robots having this intellectual battle with each other versus a physical one. You know, they're fighting, and the Vision from the Hex, Wanda's Vision, says, do you know about what's the name of the boat?
Ship of Theseus.
Ship of Theseus. Have you heard of the theory of the Ship of Theseus, right? And he says, I'm familiar with it, right?
Right.
And then so you know, the story is that there's a ship that's very old that's in a museum, and the wood from the ship continues to rot. And so they have to continue to replace the planks on the deck and of the ship with new wood because the old wood is rotting. And the question is,
they take the old wood and they refurbish it, the old wood.
Well, the first question was, if there's now no original wood from the Ship of Theseus, is it still the Ship of Theseus?
Right.
Or what if we took the old wood and refurbished it, would it still be the Ship of Theseus? And what Vision was trying to get across to White Vision was, just because you're now an android, and doesn't mean you're still not Vision. You're still me, right? You're still the original Vision. You may have changed. You may have been parts have been replaced, but you're still the same thing. And he was trying to get to him that they have taken your memories from you, but I can help you get them back.
Yeah, you're still Vision. Yeah, that was the key.
And that was the big scene there where he went and he did kind of the mind freeing
thing. He gave him back his memories, right? He dug down into his...
He said, "Your memories have been, you know, you have your memories, you know, we're synthesoids, you know, we're
very hard to erase," he said.
"Artificial beings, you can't just erase our memory. Those memories are being kept from you."
Right.
He says, "I can give them to you." And so he frees his mind, and you see the memories return to him.
There was a bunch of different flashbacks of all kinds of scenes from his past.
Right.
Which is cool.
Then his eyes change color, and then he just flies off.
What the hell was that?
And
where do you think he went?
I tell you what, I don't know. And the fact that he didn't show up for the rest of the episode is kind of strange, but
huge question.
It leaves wide open door for Vision, some form of Vision, to return at some point in time in the future.
Right.
And it's just, and again, as disappointing as I was, to see him not be part of that episode and, you know, be part of the end solution, the fact that he flew away and he's out there somewhere is just brilliant. It's brilliant on Marvel's part. If and when we decide we want to bring Vision back, whether it's the White Vision or the current one we have and that he's got his memories back or whatever, they have the open door to bring him back.
They're going
to
throw that nugget at us as a mystery, you know? That's a mystery that they will throw at us much later.
And now we, as fans, can infer where the Vision will show up again. Ugh. Like, what movie, what TV series, what... Where is the Vision going to come back?
Right, yeah. But he's out there, and he's got memories. So right. Wanda has that. I don't think she realizes that. And I was kind of hoping he would say something like, hey, by the way, find the other Vision, you know, or I gave the other Vision some memories. That could come, that could come back and help the storyline at some point, whether it be Doctor Strange 2 or Spider-Man or
whatever.
We don't
know. Who knows?
But, we don't know.
And another important part of the episode is Wanda's confrontation with the townspeople. So Agatha had individually freed the minds of a couple of the people that were under Wanda's influence.
Yeah, they weren't happy. They were kind of pissed.
And they walked up and said, what are you doing? You know, I just want to be with my family. Can you let me sleep? And when I sleep, I have your nightmares. This is terrible. And so she's confronted by all the townspeople and realizes... So
big debunk. Dottie is just a townsperson.
Right. She's not
who wants
anybody
to hug her daughter.
Right.
You know, her name's Sarah, and she wants to just be normal. Let her, you know... You keep her in my daughter in her room. So that's where the kids have been the whole time. She's actually kept them in the rooms and let them out for, you know, the Halloween, the right. special episode.
So Wanda realizes that she's this creation of the Hex has, you know, while it's been a perfect world for Wanda and her family, has been a nightmare for all the people that have been in it. And she realizes, I'm now creating a painful scenario for all the people that are part of this town. They're innocents. And Agatha says to her, superheroes don't hurt innocent people.
Torture, she used the word torture.
Yeah, don't torture innocent people.
Yeah.
And so she decides, I'm going to release everybody. I'm going to open the Hex up. I'm going to take it down. I'm going to release everybody.
Yeah.
And when she starts doing that, all of a sudden her children and right. Vision...
Start to tear apart.
They start to disappear. So Agatha says, hey, your children...
And like little Tetrix, you know, what's that? The game Tetrix? Tetrix? You know what I'm trying to say?
Tetris
blocks, you know? And that was an homage to the cover of House of M,
of House of M number 5.
So they were literally being torn apart with those little blocks, just like the House of M.
And so as she's releasing everybody from the Hex was what was keeping Vision and her children part of the environment she created. They were only manufactured within that environment. So if the environment went away, if the Hex went away... her children and Vision would no longer exist. So while she's opening up the Hex, of course, Agent Hayward and the entire SWORD team comes in and,
right.
and they are able to drive in. And then, you know, the kids and Vision, you know, she closes it back up and she says, you know, hey, kids, you know, you're going to have to help out here. And
you were born for this.
You were born for this,
yeah,
right?
Cool.
You don't know what to do, but you were born for this.
Yeah.
And they had a great little scene where...
She took care of Agatha, right? And
Vision and White Vision went off to fight, and the kids were you take care of the military.
Yeah.
And Billy kind of puts a mind hold on all the soldiers, and Tommy comes over and just grabs all their guns and the sunglasses from one of the hats. Yeah. And then really important scene, Hayward comes out of his truck and he just says, I'm going to start unloading on these kids.
Yeah.
And he pulls his gun out and starts shooting, and Monica runs up to block the bullets, and we see her body turn kind of this yellow glow, and the bullets go straight through her and you know, aren't able to make their way to the kids, which is a big kind of show off of some of her powers.
Her powers, right? Yeah, that was pretty cool. That was gratifying to see that she is using her powers. She doesn't understand them yet, and we'll get into what happens at the very end, the end scene. But yeah, that was cool. That was kind of a great scene for Monica.
And we had seen Monica trapped in Agatha's house, which happened to be the same house that Pietro lived
here
in.
Here we go. Right. Get into it. Because probably one of the biggest disappointments of this series for me, and we talked about it earlier, this isn't a shock, people. This is something, especially the professor was kind of angry. I might even say he was a little bitter at one point because he called this very early. He said that if they brought Evan Peters back for fanfare, and it would really only hurt the big fans that knew about X-Men and the whole Sony series and how he was Quicksilver and his previous, Fox and the and how he was Quicksilver, and bring him back just for that, and he's not, that would be tough.
As I mentioned, so if he ends up being the Fox version of Quicksilver, I'm cool with that.
No question.
Great multiverse explainer.
But if
fantastic.
He's just a townsperson.
If he's just, or if he's somebody else dressed up as Quicksilver. I was like, you're just playing on us, the fans who know him as Quicksilver.
They got us. That was, and to be honest with you, that was probably the biggest disappointment for the series for me. Everything
else.
So we
find out that he is Ralph. He is the Ralph that Agatha's been talking about the entire time. They live together in the same house.
All that for a dick joke.
And he says this, he has a man cave. And here's the one kind of Easter egg to the X-Men version of him. So he had a man cave in the X-Men movies where he kind of had his video
mom's
games,
basement.
His mom's basement. He had everything. So his man cave was very similar to
Very similar to where he was living.
And we find out that he's been under Agatha's spell.
Yes.
She's been controlling him, and Monica's like, how is she controlling you?
Yeah.
And she uses her powers and sees that he's wearing a necklace which has been cursed or was charmed, and so she tears that necklace off of him, and then he's freed.
Yeah, he's some kind of kid that just
name? Ralph
Boner.
Boner.
A dick joke. He did all that for a dick joke? I'm so angry. That was the most disappointing
thing. Aspiring actor who was hiding out in Westview.
Those were his headshots there.
Right. So we find out that was the big reveal of who he really is. But Monica, again, we see her powers displayed.
Hey, you know what? For everybody that was disappointed like we are, here's a shining light. Like, you know, that commercial where they turn the turtle over. You know, which one? The Discovery one. Here's a little shining light on that. I just thought of this when I watched it for the third time, because I did watch it three times. I think MCU, Marvel, Kevin, all the boys over there at Marvel have a vision on how they want to bring mutants into this world. And what tells me, if they did that to Evan Peters, probably one of the most popular ones, they have a whole new thing that they're going to do. They're not going to retread any of those characters. Professor, you picking up what I'm putting down?
I completely agree with you.
They're not going to retread any of those characters. They're going to bring them back in a way that they want to, and they're going to be new characters.
I completely agree.
They're going to be new people, new actors, new personas, and they're going to bring them back in a way that they want to, and no retreads.
This tells me,
which people, as fans, you want that. That's going to be fantastic for us.
This tells me that puts the death nail in the coffin of the Fox X-Men universe.
Agreed.
That none of those characters are coming back. None of those actors are coming back cast as those characters. Marvel is going to recast every single one of those X-Men characters, to your point, in the way that they feel fit. And in some ways, that's liberating, right?
It is.
But again, they took advantage of us. They took advantage of us as fans and kind of used
that. I feel used. I feel dirty.
Right.
I want to take a shower. Marvel used me.
I kind of had a feeling about that early on. It's like they're just playing with us. And
the slap in the face was the dick joke. Ralph Boner. Come on. Whatever.
But anyway, as the episode goes on, we find out, and Darcy comes rolling in and you know, pins Director Hayward in his car using the funnel cake van.
Have fun in jail.
Have fun in jail, right?
She had three lines. That was it. Have fun in jail. Well, four words. And
that was
one of my favorite parts of the whole episode.
Her only scene in the entire episode,
was it,
by the way.
And it was one of my favorite parts. Yeah. If they don't do something with her and Wu, I don't. They're mad. They have to be doing something.
When Paul Bettany was on Good Morning America this week, they asked him, "How would you like to have a vision? You and Darcy seem to have a connection. You had some chemistry, and you guys played off each other really well in the show. How about a Vision and Darcy kind of spinoff?" And he's like, "Oh my God, I would love that!" Like he said, "Kat Dennings is so amazing to work with, and she's a fantastic actress, and she's so funny." But I think bringing her back in the show was brilliant. You know, just goes to show you, if you hire and retain good actors and actresses to play these roles, those dividends will pay forward immensely. Jimmy Woo, another example. What a great character he was in this show.
Fan favorite. He's one of the big fan
favorites. And he'll be back. There's no question he'll be back in the
Marvel movies.
If you
listen to some of our other episodes, please do, we talk about the Academy Award winners and how Marvel casting is second to none. So
yeah. And again, we know that Monica Rambeau is going to have a bigger role going forward as well. We'll see that play itself out.
Darcy and Wu, some kind of X-Files type show with Darcy and Wu, Agent Wu.
How many spinoffs have we had in the history of television that came from individual, you know, second bit characters just being really great? You know, like Lenny and Squiggy, you know, and
sure.
You know, it's just, you get these great characters and you're like, they deserve their own show.
Yeah.
And you know, Marvel has this slate of shows planned out for the next 2 to 3 years, but there's nothing saying that they can't inject a new project somewhere at some point in time.
They would be foolish not to.
Yeah. Or bring them back in critical roles, sure, either in movies or shows going forward. And they will. I mean, I have a hard time believing we won't see Darcy and Agent Wu again in future projects. I just have a hard time believing they were so fantastic.
They were good. Yeah. So that kind of wrapped up the whole scene there. And then the end fight, I think, I don't know about you, but the first time and the second time I watched it, the third time I did not, but I literally cheered out loud when I saw her use the runes in the hex to eliminate Agnes's powers at that one scene.
It shows you while she doesn't understand magic and that she's still learning about her powers.
Agatha said something. She's like, she said something about,
you're a novice.
Yeah. Power isn't your problem. It's knowledge.
Right.
She doesn't understand.
She's smart. She's learning and she's picking up on things. And, and by the way, one of the things that we heard from Agatha during the episode was that she brings out the Darkhold. So we find out that the book that she had sitting on her desk, which you can see on the comic book here.
YouTubers can see this, but podcasts. We tried to highlight a comic book from the Professor's Collection, which is vast collection of comic books. We tried to highlight one of the comic books that pertains to whatever we're talking about for that series or for the day. We have a comic book about the Darkhold prominently displayed on our set here at the Super Talk Studios.
We did get, that was a huge reveal. We did get revealed that she did have the Darkhold.
That was the Darkhold.
Which tells us a lot about her powers and how she got her powers and that she's practicing the dark arts. Yeah. So the Darkhold's an incredibly powerful.
There's a whole chapter
Book
on
of
the Scarlet
Damned,
Witch,
right? And she says there's an entire chapter dedicated to you, and you're going to bring about your destiny is to destroy the world,
right? And a change from the comics, she says your power exceeds the
Sorcerer Supreme,
which is Doctor Strange, right? So your powers,
first mention of the Sorcerer Supreme or Doctor Strange in the show,
right?
Your power exceeds that of the Sorcerer Supreme.
But in the comics, she's not as powerful as Doctor Strange.
Well, I think what she said is absolutely true. I think her power does exceed the Sorcerer Supreme's power, but her knowledge of magic does not. And that's the difference.
Professor, again, take out your fucking notebooks, kids.
Doctor Strange
insane.
Is powerful, and that's one of the things that one of the most powerful Sorcerer Supremes ever to exist is because of his knowledge. And if you go back and watch that Doctor Strange movie, the reason why he was able to learn as much as he did, as quickly as he did, he said it was because it's the same way I got my doctorate, my PhD in the same year, is because I just studied and read and worked hard.
Right.
And so if you remember in that movie, he was just reading books and all he did was read, and he learned.
Even in his astral form, would, as he would sleep, his physical form would sleep, his astral form would be up studying and reading.
Right.
He was stealing books from Wong,
right,
from the library.
And
it was
all, it's great. I mean, it just shows that you that he's just got this, and he mentions that he does have a photographic memory. So everything that he reads, he continues to retain. So back to your point. I think Wanda innately has more power than the Sorcerer Supreme. It's been destined that she does, right?
Right?
And the Darkhold talks about that. But the Sorcerer Supreme is more knowledgeable about that, right? So we'll kind of get at the end when we talk about this, but I think they are setting
the
up
the end scene.
They are setting up some conflict there, and we'll kind of talk through that.
What worries me is Agatha said, the Scarlet Witch is destined to destroy the world.
Well, what world?
Yeah, okay.
So that's the question. I think they are setting that up, that she's going to destroy the world, but it may be an alternate universe or an alternate world or something like that, you know?
So,
for example, in the comic books, the Scarlet Witch did destroy the world. It just happened to be the House of M world that she created. That world was destroyed.
Right.
So you can kind of say that, okay. Right? So is she going to destroy our world? Who knows, right? So... but I think, again, I mean, that was great scenes there. And again, we got revealed that it is the Darkhold, which is hugely important going forward.
So she sucks all the power out of Agnes and she pulls back all of her.
This is after we thought Agnes stole all of her power.
Right.
And then she revealed that she had put a hex, or she had used runes on the entire hex, so that Agatha couldn't use her powers there. And then all of a sudden, Agatha's powers and all the powers she stole from Wanda go back into Wanda. And we see the big reveal of her comic book costume of the Scarlet Witch.
As the Scarlet Witch. Right. And Agatha kind of freaks out because she is worried that she has done something. And what do you think she is so worried about? Okay, so
she said you have no idea what you've done. You have no idea what you unleashed.
Right.
And this is just a huge setup for Doctor Strange and the Multiverse of Madness. Something happened, or there's something Agatha's aware of that Wanda is unaware of that she did, or that she unleashed, that we're going to find out about at some point.
Because she obtained her dark magic from Agatha, or because she has now completely revealed herself as the Scarlet Witch, and she is in full knowledge of the Scarlet Witch.
I think it's very similar to the statement that Lex Luthor said at the end of Batman v Superman. He says, right, the bell has been rung.
Uh-huh.
Everybody's aware that you know, you exist and that this world exists.
It can't be unrung.
And I think that's what she's... Look, you are the Scarlet Witch. I and all the other people around here know you are and that you exist and your power is there and people are going to want to manipulate and take advantage of it and everything. So let's kind of tie off on the show. Wanda gets the best of Agatha.
Yeah.
She reverts her to, she said, what are you going to do with me? She says, well, I'm going to let you continue to live here in the role that you were cast in. And that's the nosy neighbor.
You picked, right?
The nosy neighbor.
So she turns her back into Agatha, the nosy neighbor, right?
So
that was great.
And she says, you're going to need me. She says, you have no idea what's coming. You're going to need me. She said, well, I know where to find you.
Right.
And
that was great.
Yeah. So she turns her back into Agnes and, looks at her outfit. Is it hot in here? Is that you?
That's a cool outfit though. Yeah. That's a cool superhero.
Really cool outfit.
Yeah.
So we got that. We've got, I think Wanda realizes.
She's got to destroy the hex.
She needs to bring it down.
Yeah.
Right? So great scene there. She starts pulling the hex back. Her and Vision and the kids go back to their home.
They put the kids to bed. She makes a statement, family is forever, which it can mean a lot of different things. I'm not going to theorize anymore because...
And she said, thank you for choosing me to be your mom, which was another big thing. It was like, oh, they chose her to be their
mom?
Let
me throw something at you and the fans out there. And please comment, YouTubers, or comment, or the podcast, please hit us up on Twitter on this or your thoughts. If she created Vision because of the Mind Stone, the part of the Mind Stone was in her when she had that connection with the Mind Stone and she came in contact with the Mind Stone and she created Vision with some of the Mind Stone that she confirmed at the end before Vision disappeared, how did she create the kids? My question is, or my theory is that something else helped her create the kids.
Maybe.
Right?
Well,
is there something there? Am I stretching?
I think you're stretching a little bit. Okay. Agatha said that
it's not unusual for me to pull shit out of my ass. I'm just saying.
One of the things that Agatha said to her when she realized who she was, she says, you know, one of your powers, this is chaos magic, and one of your powers is the power of spontaneous creation.
Right.
And she said, you've chosen to use your power to make breakfast for dinner, right? That was the joke that she said, that you're making breakfast for dinner. Instead of, you can create anything out of anything.
Right.
I think a lot of those questions will be answered in the future. And the end credit scene kind of went somewhere of what's going to happen with those personalities that her children were. But anyway, the kids, you know, get put to bed. Wanda and Vision go downstairs. They have their goodbye.
Very touching moment.
Oh, great.
Like, what a wrap up. I mean, that performance from both of them.
And the connection the two of them had was just awesome.
Unbelievable.
And he said, I wanted to, turn the lights off. I wanted to see you. And, he says, look, tell me what I am. And she says, you are the part of the Mind Stone that lives within me. And yeah. You are all the things about you that I remember.
Blood and bone and wires.
Right.
Yeah.
And she says, your blood, bone, wires, and my love.
Yeah.
Right. And so that's what she said he was. And it was, like you said, very touching. It was just very emotional. And as the hex is pouring in, he knows he's going to be disappearing.
Right.
And they embrace and they kiss. And then she's left standing in the empty lot wearing the same clothes she wore when she got there the first day when she created the hex. And it was very fitting.
Yeah, it was a great way to close it out. She walks through the town, and all the townspeople are looking
staring at her, giving her the evil
daggers,
eye. Right?
Giving her the stink eye.
I don't know. I think they'd be a little bit more angry and upset than they.
They're afraid
them.
Of her. They know what she can do. Yeah. They're not going to jump her, but they definitely were.
But a great scene that she had with Monica there at the end too, where Monica walked
fantastic.
Up to her and said,
"I would have done
like,
the same
everything,
thing."
Everybody hates me, and she says,
"I don't.
They don't know." What you gave up for them.
What you sacrificed for them.
Right. And she said, look, if I had your power, I know I'd bring my mom back. I would.
No question, yeah.
And so Monica and her had a little bit of a connection, and she really related to her and understood her. And,
that was great.
Admitted that she didn't hate her or hold anything against her.
And then she flies off.
Well, she hears, the FBI coming, and she's like, okay, I got to go.
Yeah.
and I'm out.
Yeah.
And so she flies off in her costume, puts her comic book costume back on, and flies away.
Cool.
End of the show. So... that was the end of the episode. Then we got two post-credit scenes. We'll walk through them real quick.
Yeah, one Jimmy Woo. So Monica comes up and says, hey, authority looks good on you, Jimmy. Jimmy's like coordinating, hey, we're going to do triage over here. We're going to do, evidence over here, blah, 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 blah. And he's like, in Hayward, we see him get arrested. I don't think we've seen the end of Hayward yet.
I think we have.
I hope so. He was shady as shit from the very beginning.
I think he's very unlikable, and I didn't think he was great. I don't think we're going to see him again.
I think we are, but I hope you're right. Darcy Splitsville, she's not a big fan of debriefings.
Debriefings are for losers.
You're right. So she's gone. And then Monica gets an agent, a very unusual agent, walks up to Monica and says, hey, they're waiting for you in the theater. And her and Jimmy Woo say goodbye, and they go into the theater, and then the agent that called Monica Rambeau into the theater turns into a Skrull, people. That was a Skrull. She's turned into this alien Skrull and said, he wants to see you. And
a friend of your mother's.
Yeah.
Heard you've been grounded.
Yep.
And he'd like to see you.
He'd like to see you. And she goes, where? And she points up in the space, and she kind of has this smirk on her face, like, yeah, finally, I want to get back.
And they're... obviously talking about
Nick Fury, obviously.
Right?
And
the friend of her mother's. And
the
we
huge
saw,
sword so station.
This series takes place roughly 6 to 7 months prior to the events of Spider-Man Far From Home.
Mm-hmm.
And we saw at the end of Spider-Man Far From Home that Nick Fury has been in space on a space station with a bunch of other Skrulls doing something. We don't know what. That was the end credit scene for Spider-Man Far From Home. So he's up there. And this leads into... potentially the Secret Invasion series that's coming out on Disney Plus, and Captain Marvel 2. Captain Marvel 2, I believe, is on the slate for next November 2022. So we know she's coming back for that. We know that she's going to be in that movie with Carol Danvers, the Captain Marvel
character. Well, the whole belief that Mysterio was in Spider-Man, and he came from the multiverse...
Right? Yeah. Well,
could that have been from WandaVision?
Nah. I don't think so. I think that just happened to be coincidence. But the fact that here's the brilliance that Marvel's doing. Each one of these Marvel Disney Plus shows is leading into a major motion picture. WandaVision was designed to set up Spider-Man, No Way Home, now that we know the title, and Doctor Strange 2, Multiverse of Madness, which is coming out next March. So this series was designed to lead into those. We know that... Falcon and Winter Soldier was supposed to lead into potentially the next Avengers movie. We're not really sure where that's going, but there are some tie-ins with what's going on in Black Widow as well. We now know that the Secret Invasion series, which is coming out next summer, is going to lead into Captain Marvel 2. So that we might see Monica Rambeau in Secret Invasion. We may. And then we know right. that Captain Marvel 2 is coming out the late next year. So
yeah, we're going to see her again for sure.
Yeah, this, again, it's just, I trust in Marvel. Their plan is fantastic. So
little nuggets. It's as frustrating as it is. So
again, overall, I think we were incredibly just happy to have this content, to be able to talk about it. And as disappointing as we were in some of the things that never got answered in the show, you know, we'll live through it. It
like
was
the Evan Peters Quicksilver, my biggest disappointment. So quick end scene. We see Monica on a mountain little cabin somewhere in the Swiss Alps, it looks like, or maybe Sokovia or something.
Or the Wundagore Mountains.
Well, yeah, you need a whole episode to talk about the Wundagore Mountains, where she was originally born, right, in the comics. But whatever mountain she is, she's in this little cabin, and she's there, and she's fixing some tea. And her astral form is reading through the darkhold in the back room, I guess learning, right? Just like Doctor Strange
reading
did, learning through the darkhold, learning. And then at the very end, you hear, Mommy, Mommy, help
Billy
me.
And Tommy yelling for their mother.
Yeah.
And then we see a flash of red light and end of the scene.
Very bizarre. I think that's going to be
a huge plot point.
So...
And
show
she has
great.
The Darkhold. Her kids potentially may need her help, and we know this is leading into Doctor Strange 2. So we'll see what happens.
Awesome. Yeah. And once again, people, it did what it was supposed to do. I'm disappointed like you are, but I'm also exhilarated, and I loved it. I thought it was
fulfilled.
It did what it was supposed to do. Yeah. It built the character arc of Wanda Maximoff and Vision, and it gave us a starting off point for phase four.
That was great. All right, let's get into some of the other news items this week. So we did get some leaked photos from the set of Thor Love and Thunder. So we now know. So we heard that Matt Damon was going to be in the movie, and we're wondering what role he's going to be playing.
Yeah.
We found out that he is playing the exact same role he played in Thor Ragnarok.
Yeah.
He's playing...
So Loki created, when he took over for the King of Asgard, his father, he
created a theater troupe in Asgard.
Yeah, a theater troupe. And part of that theater troupe was Liam Hemsworth, Chris Hemsworth's brother.
Playing Thor.
Matt Damon playing Loki. And
Sam Neill
playing
Odin.
Odin. So I thought that was great.
So we saw the leaked photos of them on a theater set in New Asgard, I assume it is.
I'm bummed about that leaked, because that was something that I would have loved to have been in the theater or loved to have watched for the first time, and then she just pop up as Helena. I would have lost it.
Who's she?
Melissa McCarthy.
We haven't mentioned that yet.
Oh, I'm sorry. I thought you did.
No.
Yeah, Melissa McCarthy is a surprise character.
She's playing Hela in the stage play of what's going on at Ragnarok. So yeah, so that we got those leaked photos. So we know Melissa McCarthy's going to be in it.
It's very cheeky.
Yeah. So again, leaked set photos happen, and sometimes they're kind of cool, but Titanium's a little upset that he got.
Just disappointed in that. Some of those leaks, man. And you know what? We talked about it last time. You got to stay away from leaks. Another bit of news here. Superman and Lois paused due to COVID-19.
Yeah, so for those who haven't watched the show yet, had a huge, huge opening show. Just was immensely successful. Big show. I think one of the biggest audiences to watch a CW show ever. For the first couple of episodes for Superman and Lois. That show is now going to be on pause for a couple of weeks. They've had some issues with COVID that are kind of suspending some of their filming. And Supergirl is going to take their time slot on CW temporarily. But yeah, so it's just going to happen.
It's a shame. It did big numbers, and it's a shame for CW.
It's going to happen, and we anticipate that happening. Yeah.
Anthony Mackie is going to be on Hot Ones.
Well, on Hot Ones this week.
Yeah, guys, if you don't watch Hot Ones, you got to check it out. So it's a YouTube show.
Those who know me know my big fandom with Hot Sauce and the show Hot Ones on YouTube. If you haven't watched Hot Ones on YouTube, it's amazing. It's an interview show. They bring a celebrity on and make him eat 10 increasingly hot wings and watch them suffer through the whole thing. It's fantastic.
But the interview is bar none fantastic.
One of the best interviews you watch.
One of the best interviews of any celebrity, of any chef, of any actor. It's just great.
Yeah. And Anthony Mackie was on this week to promote Falcon and Winter Soldier. So there's a little bit of insight into that during the Hot One show. And he's fantastic. I think he is so perfect in the role of Falcon. If I could have cast Falcon, would I have ever picked Anthony Mackie? No. But man, is he really good in that role. And I think we're going to fall in love with him as a character even more in this Captain and Winter Soldier series.
I can't wait to do a Super Talk podcast about the Falcon and Winter Soldier. We're going to get as intense as we have with WandaVision about that show.
Yeah, it's going to be great.
It's going to be awesome. Stay tuned, people. It's going to be fantastic.
So here's another tidbit I've got for you this week. So a buddy of mine sends me a tweet that Mark Hamill had. So Mark Hamill mentioned
Luke Skywalker.
Everybody knows who Mark Hamill is. He mentioned that his first job was working at a McDonald's in Annandale, Virginia. So he's from this area.
That's awesome.
And we're recording in Northern Virginia for those of you who are listening. And I happen to go to Annandale High School. But to find out that Mark Hamill's first job was at that McDonald's in Annandale. It was right down the street from
Mickey
our high school.
Mickey D's in Annandale, Virginia.
Just funny as hell to hear that. I mean, it's just great. So
that's awesome.
Yeah. Tim Neary, thanks for sending that to me. That was a great little tidbit.
Nice job, Tim. That's awesome. Also, hey, listen, we love Marvel, and that's obvious, but we just don't talk about Marvel, and we're so excited for some of these other shows to come out. We're talking about all kinds of superhero stuff. We've mentioned The Boys, which is filming now, and we're going to get heavily into The Boys when that series starts, because we love The Boys. But a couple of other shows, there is a show on Amazon Prime coming out March 26th. It's an animated show called Invincible, and it's kind of gory. It's an adult.
You sent me the trailer for that. It looks pretty good.
Yeah, it's going to be pretty good. I think it's going to be pretty good. So we're going to check that out. We're going to mention it in the show. Melissa McCarthy, again, who we just mentioned, is in a kind of comedy show, a superhero show called Thunder Force. And that's going to be on Netflix, and that comes out April 19th.
Cool.
Which is going to be kind of fun, and the trailer looks hilarious. Check it out on YouTube. And then there's another show called Jupiter Legacy, which was really cool. The outfits are kind of, I don't know, the costumes are kind of cool superhero costumes. And that's going to come out May 7th on Netflix as well.
More content for Super Talk, right?
We'll
be talking about it.
And then
I
don't have a lot of information about this Sylvester Stallone show that's coming out. But it's called Samaritan, and that looks really cool. The director from Overlord, that movie about zombies and Nazis, was kind of dark and very gory. He did this. I think it's going to be like a dark kind of superhero show.
Hey,
but
what Marvel and to some extent DC have proven is that the superhero genre, and we've seen it with The Boys and everything else, it works.
Yeah.
People really, really, really love this stuff. And if you can come up with great characters and great content, regardless of the history of the characters, you know, people are going to consume it. So we've seen that with The Boys. This was a very niche comic book series that came out and just did really well. So we're looking forward to those series, and we'll cover them. We'll talk about them.
Yeah, let's get into the topic of the week. That's our news for the day.
Yeah, so the topic of the week, we're going to talk about all of the rumors and leaks and unanswered questions that were left over from WandaVision. So we'll go through each one of these real quickly. So everybody was always talking about Agatha can't be the big villain of the show. There's got to be another big bad. There's got to be somebody behind Agatha. Is it Mephisto? Is it Nightmare? Is it C'thon? Is it, who is it? Who could be behind all this? There's somebody that she's working for, somebody she's working in combination with.
Oh, I fell head over heels for this. I was in so deep.
Some people were
on
the Mephisto train.
I was on
the
Nightmare and the Mephisto train. We talked about Al Pacino possibly coming out as Mephisto or Nightmare.
Nothing.
Nothing.
So we didn't get any of that.
Not that it couldn't
was
happen.
Debunked. It was completely false. There was no big bad. Not saying there won't be one for Doctor Strange 2, which there probably will be somebody bigger and badder, but it wasn't revealed in the show. So, just something that
very
never
upsetting.
Happened. But everybody was guessing, right? And so the next one is Pietro or Fietro or whoever you want to call
it. Fake brother.
So all the theories. Is he the Quicksilver from the X-Men Fox universe? Is it our Quicksilver, just a different actor? Is he playing Mephisto? Is he playing somebody else that we should... He's playing a different character.
Right.
And we find out it's nobody.
It's nobody. It's just a guy.
Some dude who was charmed by Agatha Harkness and name was Ralph and he was stuck in an attic of a house. Nothing.
Yeah, I mean, was...
Debunked.
Was he even the witness protection program that Agent Wu was talking about? Was he the guy in the witness protection program? We don't even know who that is. That was probably the biggest disappointment for me, was the Quicksilver, Evan Peters casting. But, you know. Ugh.
Yeah, so that one was nobody, right? So the mystery astrophysicist or aeronautical engineer that supposedly built this truck, and everybody's like, is it Mr. Fantastic?
Yeah.
Is it Hank McCoy from the X-Men?
Right, who's it going to be?
Is it the Blue Marvel?
We don't know.
Nobody. Well, yeah. What the director said is we've already met the, and it was that Major Harris or whatever that we saw in that one episode.
Was she a Skrull? Nobody knows.
But they totally messed with us. She mentions this, and now we're all thinking who it could be.
Right.
And then she said, I got to go meet my guy in the field. And it's a guy. Oh, my God. Who could it be? And nobody. Ended up being nobody. That
a woman.
Was... Never, we have no idea.
Ugh.
So just something that we all sat and theorized about, and there were so many leaks and rumors on the internet about who it could be, and it ended up being nobody.
Oh, yeah. Well, they put us on a leash and took us for a walk on that one.
All right. And the big mystery cameo, right? So we got two real hints at this from Paul Bettany saying there's an actor I've always wanted to work with, and we had some great scenes. We found out that he was talking about himself.
Himself.
Right? But then we also had Elizabeth Olsen was asked... is there a cameo that's on par with Luke Skywalker showing up at the end of The Mandalorian? She said yes. So we're thinking, oh my God, is Doctor Strange going to show up at the end of the show?
Yes.
Which we thought would be the most logical explanation, right?
No, or Doctor Strange.
Patrick Stewart or Ian McKellen or is it Al Pacino? Well, we were talking
about Mephisto.
Who was the big cameo? Nobody.
Nobody.
There was no big cameo, was just. We were being trolled by Paul Bettany about who it was going to be. And honestly, very funny when you come to find out about it. Well, we spent weeks talking about who it could be.
Yeah, a lot of people did. A lot of people built their brand around guessing what it could be.
Right.
So whatever.
And the other one is Senior Scratchy, the rabbit, right? Oh, Senior Scratchy. It's got to be Mephisto. It's got to be Nightmare in disguise. It's got to be her son is something Scratch.
Yeah.
Nicholas Scratch.
Nicholas Scratch.
Right? Oh, it's got to be them. And we're going to find out who the rabbit is in the last episode. Who's the rabbit? No idea.
Yeah,
nobody.
It happens to be a...
rabbit.
Fucking rabbit.
Right.
I can't believe that. It could turn out to be something later. We don't know. It could be something in the past, but I don't know.
Ugh. All right. Who is the person in Jimmy Woo's... witness protection program that he came there for to begin with? We were like, oh my God, it's got to be somebody. It's going to be Wonder Man, or it's going to be, you know, Simon Williams. It's going to be somebody. Who was it? No idea who
it was.
We have
no idea. No answers.
And it never got answered.
Yeah. So those are a couple of things, people, that we never got answers to.
And the fact that Monica has a beef with Carol Danvers for some reason, we have no idea what that's all about either. Right.
So, still haven't found that out.
All right, well, let's get into our listener questions of the week. And we actually got a handful of them this week, and they were fantastic. So
yeah, we got three. I'll go over real quick. From Isabella Estrella, great young lady. The White Vision. Is the White Vision bad, or what's the White Vision?
Well, she said, is he bad, right?
Yeah.
And the way I answered this to you, Tony, was that, or Titanium, I'm sorry.
Thank you.
It's like saying, is a dog bad? They say there's no bad dogs. There's just bad dog owners
right?
And so in the comic books, the White Vision was a mindless, emotionless android, like a robot. And he was under control of whoever had control of him.
Right.
And in the show, I think we found that he had been given a directive by S.W.O.R.D. to destroy the Vision.
And Wanda.
And... so he was being controlled by bad people. So is the White Vision bad? Not necessarily. He's just being controlled by bad people. Now, he
great
was
analogy.
Liberated. Yeah, he was liberated of that in the show, which we saw Vision liberate him. So is he a bad character at this point in time? I think he's now trying to find himself and get his own free will, and we'll figure that out in future projects.
But great analogy. There are no bad dogs. They're just bad owners.
Right.
Second question from Tyler Tran from Instagram. In a fight... who would win, Godzilla or Iron Man?
This is a good one. So we did see Iron Man take down one of the big Chitauri flying beasts that were in the Avengers. And it wasn't easy. Remember, he had to like use his lasers, and he had to cut the sides off, and then he had to fly into its mouth and explode a bunch of stuff. And he was really kind of torn up about it. But he was able to take one of those down.
Yeah.
Now, Godzilla is probably a little bit bigger than one of those.
Right.
And he is the king of monsters.
No question.
So I don't like Iron Man's chances, to
I don't
be honest
either.
With
yeah,
you.
Yeah, we both agree on that.
I think Godzilla would eat Iron Man as a snack.
I think he would too. And then our last question is from Tim St. Laurent, Tiny Timmy. Tim St. Laurent, the Scarlet Witch, is she the strongest and most powerful superhero?
Well, they painted her as a superhero with some pretty powerful magic in this show that really the limits of her magic are endless to some extent. And I think they are setting her up to at least be the initial big bad of the Doctor Strange.
Well, they
Strange
say
movie.
She has rival or what she exactly
her powers, saying? You know, are she's more powerful than the Sorcerer Supreme. Right. But I think we'll see her maybe be the person that Doctor Strange is combating early in that movie, but yeah. Ultimately it may be somebody else. But there's been way more powerful superheroes than the Scarlet Witch. And we saw the Scarlet Witch does have some, you know, innate weaknesses, like, you know, she can't fly, you know, she can fly, but she, you know, she's very vulnerable. She has no physical protection. I mean, Superman's invulnerable. I mean, you can't really right. hurt him. I mean, he's gone toe to toe with some of the most, and the Hulk is way stronger. Thor is probably more powerful. There's been more powerful superheroes like Sentry and Hyperion, you know, Silver Surfer. You know, is she the most powerful superhero ever?
She's
no.
up there. Let's give her some credit.
But her power does give her some abilities that are difficult for other superheroes yeah. to handle. For
knowledge.
Sure.
Knowledge is her big thing that she needs.
Yeah. I mean, like Dr. Manhattan can like make things out of thin air as well. I mean, he's pretty powerful. So, you know, again, is she the most powerful? No, but they did, I think, give her a little bit of a exponential
power. So comic books, no,
book.
Not really up there, but not the most. MCU, they're making her pretty much one of the most powerful.
They're trying to make her bigger than she ever was, and I think for a good reason. They're trying to set her up as somebody that needs to be dealt with. To some
Very
extent.
Cool. Hey, Professor, the bell has rung. Let's wrap this up. Episode 10, people, thank you so much.
Yeah, real quick, before we move on, we need to talk about next episode real quick. So we have a break between WandaVision and The Falcon and Winter Soldier. Is going to be a week break. So next week, we're going to get a recap show on Disney Plus of WandaVision. And they'll do kind of a behind-the-scenes show, but then we'll talk about Falcon and Winter Soldier in 2 weeks. So yep. Next week, our episode is going to be focused on the Titanium Smoke Show rankings.
Oh,
we're going to go Titanium Smoke Show top 10
Smoke
next week.
Smoke Show.
You need to tune into this episode.
Buckle up, people. It's going to be a ride.
If you've been interested in what Titanium Smoke Show rankings are, all the smoke shows in the comics, movies, and television shows, yeah. and he's going to rank them 1 to 10
we're
with a few honorable mentions, I'm sure.
Yep.
We're doing that next week.
No question. We're going to do smoke shows. We're going to do the hottest gals and the hottest guys. Top 10 on both of those. I can't leave out the guys. So many requests and so many DMs about hot guys in the MCU and also in superheroes. So we're going to go all through that. We're going to rank them. And your feedback is much appreciated. So please, you got a superhero, somebody that you feel should be on that list, hit us up.
Yeah. So that's it for us this week. We'll be back next week for more Super Talk. To get in touch with us on social media, hit us up via email, supertalkpodcast@outlook.com or @supertalkpod on Twitter. Until then, stay super, everyone.